I just know that song. I'm sorry, I didn't know
you were gonna get indignant for me saying, is that from some cheesy show? It's just that you're singing a cheesy song.
I'm just trying to get another high-pitched song stuck in your head because I've missed you, Gray.
Oh my god, I'm crazy about you. Oh my god, I miss you, that's crazy.
So how'd it go with Jay? How'd you guys do?
It went good, but I'm in the desert right now at Mother Coogs's house, so I don't really have my internet's real flaky. So I was losing the internet on the podcast last week. It was pretty. It was a little bit of a mess. So yeah, I don't know. Hopefully, we can get it in today without any issues. Right now, I seem to have internet. Knock on wood. And I just knocked on my penis. What? What did I just say?
I mean, I was hoping you were excited to see me, not that excited. Yikes.
Yeah. So, anyway, I made a purchase for, not to totally blow off the fact that you just came back from a whirlwind vacation, but I'd rather talk about the toy I bought Ted.
Yes, Gray sent me this earlier, right before we hopped on. Maybe that'll be the outro. It's called the iFetch, and it looks... How much is one of those?
I don't know. I just used a credit card. Coogs bought it, technically. I sent the link to Coogs, and I was like, buy this for Ted. So, technically, I can't hold a credit card myself. I have to have my wife hold the credit card for me, but I maybe $150. I don't know.
Whatever it is,
it's worth it.
Wow. So what this is this little like cylindrical thing. The dog takes the ball and puts it at the top, and then there's like three different holes, and it's just gonna randomly pick which one it throws it back out. And apparently the dog's supposed to fetch with it. It looks like the dumbest thing, except for. I bet Rusnake Castillo could use one of those while he's learning how to field in the outfield.
That's the user. How do you say the defensive metric UZR?
Yeah, I don't know. UZR.
It's iFetch / user. All right, so how was Alaska? Go ahead.
Oh, wow, thanks for that intro.
sorry, not to sound totally uninterested.
It was incredible. It was a great experience. We saw glaciers, saw whales, saw bear, just gorgeous scenery. The sunset out there at like 10:30, because it's way up north up there, was crazy. It was just a really gorgeous, awesome experience. But you know what I want to talk about other than that, Gray, is I now have a lifelong vendetta against United Airlines.
Why? What happened?
Okay, so get this.
Did they pull a Kevin Smith on you?
What's a Kevin Smith? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, he got onto a flight, and they were like, you're too large for the seat. We're gonna have to kick you off this flight.
They kicked him off?
Not saying you're a large man or anything, JP, but
Well,
is that what happened? What
no,
happened?
No, no. I am large because I'm 6'7". I can fit in it vertical, but not horizontal or whatever. But what? So we get on this plane and we went with another couple as our friends, and they got some of the like.
Whoa! You didn't tell me you were swingers. Whoa!
But they got upgraded to the economy plus section or something like that, and so we got on. And then they're like, okay, so the economy plus section, you can upgrade to these seats that are 3 inches more legroom for a cost of $179 after we got on the plane.
That's the same cost of an iPad.
Everyone just laughed. The whole plane laughed. So of these front seven rows in a 3x3 plane, that's 42 seats. There's like six people. And they didn't pay for it. They were just like, "Hey, we got a free upgrade." So that, and we were like, "Oh, why are you lucky? We hate you now." So then I asked if I could go up and play some cards with them during this like 5-hour flight. They're like, "Nope, you got to pay the upgrade fee to even go up there."
Wow, that's like the scene with you're like Renee Zellweger from the scene in Jerry Maguire when they close the curtain and she's like, "It used to just be better seats. Now it's a better life."
But it was crazy. It wasn't even first class, and they were empty anyway. And then we landed in a thunderstorm, and it was a whole deal. But United Airlines, you're dumb. Why even make that announcement?
A thunderstorm where? In Alaska?
No, in North Carolina. Worse weather when we landed than anywhere in Alaska.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Was when you saw Alaska with the polar bears, was it like you were seeing a real-life Coca-Cola commercial?
We weren't that far north. It was a brown bear that was on land. It wasn't a polar bear floating around on ice cubes drinking soda.
Okay. Did you wear your mittens?
Mittens? No, I mean, most of the time, 60 to 70 degrees. It's not that cold up there.
Why would you wear mittens in 70-degree weather?
The way to turn that around.
Yeah, I know. Everything goes back to you and your stupid mitt. Do you have any idea what the temperature is right now where I am?
Is it like 90 degrees yet?
90? Oh my god. It's 90 degrees inside. It's right now, it is 108 degrees.
What?
What? It is. It's crazy. It's so freaking hot here. Right now, it's too hot to go into the pool. It's seriously, like, insanely hot.
Get some boiled gray.
Yeah, exactly. like a delicious boiled potato. All right.
Yeah. Baseball time. So catching up on 2 weeks of action. There's a lot going on. I'm probably going to miss some stuff. You'll have to catch me up on some stuff, Gray. I think the biggest thing is obviously James Shields getting traded.
I'll wait for the slow. Yeah. James Shields was traded. I went over on the site today, but I didn't really see any big. It's like going into the AL from Petco isn't going to be a great move. There is, for AL only, I would grab them there because you're going to get an extra month plus, like a month plus of stats from him versus anyone else who could potentially get traded in, around the trading deadline in July. So, he's worth throwing a couple bucks at in fab dollars for AL only. For mixed leagues, I didn't really like him to begin with, even in the NL on the Padres. So I wouldn't say he's necessarily gets a huge uptick in value. He has, he has more of a chance for wins, less of a chance for ratios.
Yeah, I will say the thing with San Diego is it's played more neutral the past few years, but I didn't like James Shields this season anyway. For NL only, do you care about Eric Johnson going to the Padres?
No, his control is a little bit wonky. I would probably stay away from him outside of streaming matchups. In NL only, obviously you want to get anyone you can get. But yeah, he's like right now I think he's around a four plus walk rate guy. So that's obviously someone who could potentially give up 5 to 6 runs a start if he walks a couple guys. And he's not in a great place for wins, so I don't see a whole lot of upside for him right now.
Okay, speaking to upside to some pitchers who have been good lately, guys that I had to move way up in my ranks this week. How about the past 2 weeks from Matt Shoemaker and Michael Fulmer? Which one would you have of the two rest of the season?
I've gone back and forth. To be totally honest, I think people have asked me Shoemaker or Fulmer on the site, and some days I'll say Fulmer and some days I'll say Shoemaker. They're kind of close to a toss-up at this point. I think Shoemaker is a little bit safer in just that he is less apt for, a rookie breakdown of, like, you know, just like the usual rookie pitcher nonsense that you might get from Fulmer. Shoemaker obviously has not been terrific over the last 12 months either, so he's not necessarily safe in the big picture. I just think he might be a little bit safer compared to Fulmer. But both of them I do like. I would take a flyer on both. I think, you know, Shoemaker has shown the ability to have a, you know, high or an 8+ K rate in the past, and a low 3 xFIP. I'm talking about in 2014. I think, Fulmer, I think, might be playing a little bit over his head, but I would grab him in leagues too. I think, the 9+ K rate and the under 3 walk rate is definitely worth owning. I'm concerned that we might be seeing the best from Fulmer, and there's nothing but downside there. I don't know if there's any more upside from him as of right now, but yeah, I would own both of them.
I'm concerned about what's happening to your microphone right now.
Oh, well, there's going to be issues. I'm telling you, my internet's going to go all over the place. Why? Am I breaking up?
No, it's just it sounds like, I don't know, like a dust storm is blowing in every
yeah, it's probably the 108-degree weather.
I know, it's probably melting.
Electricity doesn't work well in this sort of
your microphone's going
to bear with me. Hey, like a polar bear.
Microphone's going to melt to your mustache.
Yeah, exactly. Did you see Mr. and Mrs. Claus when you were up there? what do you think about Shoemaker and Fulmer?
I just can't trust Shoemaker. He gives up so many fly balls. He doesn't throw really hard. He's got decent stuff. We've seen strikeout binges from him before. I'll take the gamble on Fulmer over him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more about, like, who burnt me lately.
Right.
And who have we seen more of? I guess Fulmer, you know, he started a little slow, but he is a prospect. He throws hard. And, you know, last 3 starts, 7+ innings in all of them, only gave up 9 hits combined with, 22-4 strikeout to walk. I don't know. We'll see what Shoemaker does. You're listening to this now. You'll know what he did against the Yankees today.
Yeah, and Fulmer against the Blue Jays.
Oh, is he today too?
Yeah, he's going against the
Blue
Jays.
Yeah, big test for both of those. I mean, those 3 stats or 3 starts I mentioned for Fulmer, Rays at A's at Angels, not exactly great offenses there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I guess we'll know by tomorrow, by the time you listen to this. Spoiler! but I think, Shoemaker and Fulmer might have different outlooks as of tomorrow, depending on how they do tonight. I am definitely not feeling great about either, but I do like, they have shown. I'm actually, with Fulmer, I'm surprised because I don't really think he didn't show it. Like, when he came up, it was sort of like, oh, yeah, Sean Mania is up and some other guy from the Tigers, right? I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of hoopla over Fulmer. Mm-hmm. I did use the word hoopla. But seriously, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was kind of I think it was more of like just a surprise call up because he would, you know, had just turned 23. I guess that's not that old. You know, was just kind of decent at AA. Nah, he was actually pretty good at AA last year. You're right. I mean, I don't know. I guess you're right in that it was a surprise, but I don't know why it didn't come with more fanfare. Maybe just because his first start wasn't good and everyone kind of swept it into the rearview mirror.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know if, yeah, I wouldn't say he's definitely has stats that are like, oh, this is total BS. I mean, I think there is, you know, there's something. I just don't know why he didn't come with more of a hubbub.
A hubbub? Are you, how many times?
I said hoopla, you said fanfare, so I decided to go to hubbub. I'm waiting for brouhaha or the old fashioned hullabaloo.
What about SeatGeek? Is that in there?
No, that's not in my thesaurus, but I wish it were.
So, Greg, what's more frustrating, 108-degree weather or trying to buy tickets online on other sites other than SeatGeek?
Nothing. Nothing is more frustrating than that, except me trying to train Ted to use iFest.
It's because most sites other than SeatGeek, they make it complicated. Try to sneak in huge fees at the checkout. That's why you got to get SeatGeek. Get it on your phone. Get the app. Get the app on all your mobile devices. Check it out online. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. It's because they put all their tickets ranked on value. You can immediately find underpriced seats. Before you buy, you can even go in the stadium and see the view from that seat. It's awesome. And best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront with the price. Unlike StubHub, you know, they've got a big feud going there. I wonder if it's like Romeo and Juliet families between StubHub and SeatGeek. What is that?
The Montagues and the Capulets?
I thought it was the Vermicellis and the Moussakas. How did you know those names so well? Do you read Shakespeare?
Yeah.
What?
No, that's common knowledge. Come on.
That's common knowledge? What were they?
I don't know. I have a memory like a polar bear in Alaska.
Hold the phone. Hold the promo here. Hold on. You can get those two names right at the first try, just like immediately. But you're like, Sean Mania. what are some of your other ones? Devin Morocco.
I don't know. I mean, I know I could spell them. Whether or not I could say them. I mean, but I understand it makes me sound a little bit like an idiot, but I'm not a total moron.
But you can say the Shakespeare 15th century Italian names perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe I'm saying them wrong. I don't know.
Well, unlike StubHub, SeatGeek shows...
I don't sweat Shakespeare. What do I know?
Unlike StubHub, SeatGeek shows you the full ticket price from start to finish. None of those annoying fees at the end. I've tried them both. I use StubHub a lot the last few years. I'm a SeatGeek convert. I hate the fees. And best of all, I got $23 rebate on my first SeatGeek tickets.
Not to interrupt the slow clap.
Oh, you definitely don't interrupt.
The JB slow clap. You do not interrupt.
I
wish I were I'd like to be a fly on the wall in your household where it's like pot roast, and your wife is like, is that the sarcastic slow clap or the enthusiastic slow clap?
No, the wife just does it back. She's like, you remembered to put the
same clap at each other.
Yeah. She's like, you remembered to put the toilet seat down. Thanks, Jamie. to get your $23 on SeatGeek, get the app, go to the settings tab, put in promo code RAZZMLB, RAZZMLB, all caps, and they'll give you $20 after you've made your first SeatGeek purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app, put in RAZZMLB today. So, Gray, while I was gone, a lot of hitters that, a lot of them were scrubby, did some nonsense. It was crazy. One of them that is not scrubby, though, is how about Mookie Betts and those 5 home runs? That was nice. I love Mookie.
Him and Corey Seager, too, had a huge week last week. I think Corey Seager actually even hit more homers last week. But, yeah, Mookie, Mookie had a great week. He had an exceptional 7 at bats at one point, where he hit 5 homers in 7 at bats, which were, I believe it was 5. He hit as many homers in those 7 at bats as the Braves hit in all of April. he's going to be a good one. I was all about him in the preseason. I'm glad I drafted him in at least one league. And I think he's probably, to give you a little bit of a sloppy comparison, I think he's basically in his prime Pedroia.
Interesting. You don't think he could be better? Well, how many steals did Pedroia get in his peak?
I don't know, 25 maybe.
Okay.
I'm totally going off of memory. I think Betts maybe has a tad bit more power. Pedroia, I don't think, ever really got to 25 homers. So maybe Betts gets to 25 homers and 25 steals, which is still, it's terrific for a guy who is at the top of a great lineup. So he's going to score probably close to 115 to 120 runs. He's going to get a good 80 to 90 RBIs, and he'll have a solid average. So, easy top 15 player overall, potential for top 5 to 10.
Is he your third outfielder next year?
Third outfielder? What do you mean? He's way above third outfielder.
No, is it number number 3?
Third overall.
Yes.
Let's see. Well, there's obviously the top 2 guys, Harper, Trout. And then 3, I really like Springer a lot. I think Springer could potentially, there's still a lot of baseball left in the season. I think Springer could have a 30-20 season this year. I think, right now, Betts is the number 1 outfielder on the player radar, and Springer is the number 7 outfielder. Mike Trout is 2. And, Harper's down in around 12. But I think next season it's fair to say Trout, Harper, and then one of those 2, Betts or Springer. I'm going to say Springer, but I wouldn't bet against Mookie.
Oh, my God. Are you concerned about Springer? 3 steals, 6 caught stealing.
Not really, to be honest. I'm not concerned about him at all, because I don't own him. But if I did own him, I would be basically happy with 12 to 15 steals and hope for more. And I think 12 steals is it's nothing for Springer. I think he gets 12 steals, even if he gets caught 12 times, he's going to steal 12 bases this year without on hit and runs alone, he's going to steal 12 bases.
Has there been anyone more surprising this year than Brewers bias Jonathan VR? Woo!
Yeah, no, he's been great. I drafted him in a bunch of leagues. I was all about him in the preseason. I've liked him all year. He was someone I struggled with a little bit for the first couple weeks in the RCL on whether or not to hold on to him, but I'm glad I did. I held him all year, and he's ended up, he's coming into his own. I think he's someone who could potentially have, 12, maybe 10 to 12 homers and 35 to 40 steals.
Yeah, it's definitely I looked at, I don't remember, Yahoo, ESPN, whatever, last 2 weeks. And VR was the number 1 player.
Where? Their player rater?
Whatever they rank their players
on. They're a joke. ESPN, real quick side note, ESPN's player rater sucks for one simple reason. It counts steals. It weighs steals way too heavily. It's heavenly? Did I say heavenly? heavily, excuse me. Like guys like Billy Hamilton will be way higher than they should be, and it overrates how important steals are. Now, VR is still great. I still love him. I think he's a solid top seven shortstop, but you know, there's guys like Bogarts, Machado, Lindor, Story, Seager. You know, he's still up there, though. Shortstop is definitely, it's grown in depth this year. It's gotten much better in the first couple months this year as opposed to last year. But there's still, you know, there's still guys above. Oh, Carlos Correa is above, whatchamacallit, above VR. But he's still there. He's in the top 10, 7 to 10 shortstops, I would say.
Well, he did have home runs in three straight games, and I was just looking at a two-week sample, so.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm just saying, in the big picture, they do overrate steals. I forget when Rudy did it, but he did a test at one point to show why the ESPN player rater was off on certain things. It also... there's other issues. You know, there's all kinds of issues with ESPN. There's the fact that it's not, I mean, we have a player rater for every league there, you know, that you, there's like 20 different variations where you can look at on-base percentage, you can look at quality starts, you can look at OPS, you can look at 10 team versus 12 team versus 14 team versus 15. But, you know, ESPN is just overall, you know, very, it's real basic, so. But anyway.
So some other crappy players being good. How about Eduardo Nunez? Multi-hit games in 7 of his last 10 games. Three homers in that span, 4 steals in the past 10.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, he's been hot. I don't know if it's anything more than a, you know, great hot streak. But he's definitely someone I would own right now. A little bit concerned. I think his playing time could get a little bit wonky over at, you know, with Plouffe, and, you know, if he goes into the if he goes over to you know, it depends on where the if the Twins can play him every day, then he's a lot more interesting as a leadoff guy. But if they platoon him at all, his value takes a hit, and he's not a 330 hitter as he has been so far. He's probably close to a 260, 270 hitter. So he's in a hot streak right now, but he's worth owning for right now as well.
Rest of season, Nunez or Aledmys Diaz?
You know, I'm going to go Diaz. The Cardinals, better team. They have committed to Diaz, sending Wong to the minors. So I think... And Diaz, I think, someone who could potentially keep this going the whole season. He surprised me early on, but at this point, I think he's made the adjustments, and he is a better hitter than he was coming into this season. Whereas Nunez, I'm not totally convinced. Nunez has better speed. So if you need that, then there's no doubt him.
Eduardo Nunez or Addison Russell rest of the season?
Oh, rest of the season, I'm still going Russell. But unless it's a deep league, I don't know why it would have to be rest of the season. I'm kind of I'm leaning Nunez for, you know, for the next week and dropping Russell. I'm fine dropping a guy like Russell in most 12 team or shallower leagues. I don't know. Russell doesn't do a whole lot for me. He's okay. He's fine for deeper leagues because he's going to play every day. But in shallower leagues, I think you might do better just with a hot potato.
Ready for a question that would have sounded ridiculous in March?
Yeah, good part.
Could Adam Duvall hit 30 home runs?
I don't know if it was that ridiculous even in March.
It was pretty ridiculous. He was going to platoon.
He hit 26 homers last year. I wouldn't have put the probability at zero. I'll say that.
Well, wasn't he supposed to platoon with the Schliebler?
That's totally true.
And he was on the wrong side of the platoon, too, because he's the righty.
I agree. I'm just saying it wouldn't have been a total 0% chance of it happening in March. But you're right. I mean, it definitely wasn't a, you know, an easy call by any stretch of imagination, or we all would own him. I think he could hit 30 homers though. Now that where he is now, I do think it's possible because, you know, he's shown power in the past. In the minors, he hit 30 homers one year. He hit 27 homers another year. He hit 26 homers another year. I mean, he's always shown power. The average, I think he could be a 230 hitter. So that's going to, you know, at some point he's going to go, he's going to get real cold and people are going to be like, oh, okay, is it time to drop Duvall? And it's going to be time. Yeah.
Yeah. 29.7% K rate to 3.6% walk rate. That's not very good. Does have 7 homers last 10 games. Definitely must own for right now while he's hitting home runs all the time.
You know, he's kind of, I didn't even realize this until you started saying his strikeout rate and stuff. That feels like Grichuk from last year.
Oh, that's a good one. I thought you were going to say Chris Carter.
I mean, yeah, he would fall into that realm too. I was just thinking of guys who come up and pitchers don't necessarily know how to get them out completely, so they throw them more strikes than maybe they should. Like this year, we're seeing where Grichuk is, he's down in the 8 hole, not even playing every day because he was striking out so much that pitchers have figured him out. I wouldn't be surprised if Duvall is like that, where he hits 30 homers this year, and then next year, he's unownable.
Yeah, I'm surprised he has 30 runs. Now, he does have 16 homers, so that's 16 right there, but for a guy that never walks, yeah. I don't know, that seems like a lot. I guess it's all in the homers, but that might be propelling his value a little bit too. Would you sell him high if anyone was giving you much?
Yeah, if someone was going to buy him, I don't know if that's, you know, a potential sell just because I don't know who the hell is buying Duvall, but if they were, sure, yeah, I would sell him.
All right, which crappy hot player would you drop first when they start going cold? Adam Duvall or Logan Morrison?
Logan Morrison, God, he's terrible. He's someone who's way beyond he's someone who's not even in the realm of a guy who I think could potentially break out still. I think he's just simply hot over the last week or so. I don't think he's really someone who has any hope for, you know, continuing where he's at.
Adam Duvall hits one home run and gets like 2 hits the next 5 games. Would you drop him for Morrison if he stays hot?
No, I would put Duvall on a probably two week notice. I would give him 2 weeks probably, maybe 10 days if he went super cold. But yeah, as of right now, I wouldn't be worried about dropping any of them because they're hot. So it's like just play them out. It's something I really wouldn't be worried about at this point. But yeah, Duvall, I think just because he's a little bit younger and he's got a good park to hit in, I would probably give him a little bit of time if he got real cold.
All right, let's see how this goes. That's what I do when I watch Joe Ross start. Woo!
What was that?
I literally was like, I should have some music to talk about Joe Ross, and I googled dance music, and this is the first thing that came up. Woo! Joe Ross. There you go.
I really hope you had glow sticks. and you were like nodding your head with your you're at the front door waiting for the bouncer to let you in with the Joe Ross music. Wow, that was some song you had there. That really makes me want to like them more.
Thank Google for that. Yeah.
Is that the official Joe Ross theme song?
Oh, I have no. It's whatever Google says dance music is. I don't know.
Oh, wow. That sounds like something my grandmother would do if she were alive.
Wow. Oh, man.
Google dance music, and I'm going to show you a thing or two, mister.
Some back-to-back quality starts while I was out. Yes, the strikeouts aren't magical, but they're fine. He's been good. You ready to admit that he could be a top 30 pitcher?
No, he's not a top 30 pitcher.
Oh my God, you're so stubborn.
He's got an under 7K rate. Come on. Not. I mean, he's doing okay. I mean, he's doing good. Don't get me wrong, but and I like him. Why do we always go down this road? I like Joe Ross. I have no quarrel with Joe Ross.
You have so much quarrel. If I didn't bring it up, you would.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you do every time. If he does bad, you bring it up. But if not, oh, I wouldn't have talked about him.
Oh God, am I that transparent? Yeah, no, he's good. I like him. I was just actually, I think you know, he's got a 2.37 ERA. It's just like, that's not realistic. I'm just saying, he's fine. He's good. He's just not this good. That's all I'm saying.
Oh my God, he is this good.
Oh my God, forget it.
Just a minute. You know what? I'm throwing you out. Da, 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 da. Oh, get ready for the climax. Oh my God, that's awesome.
That is an awesome song. I'll admit that. Joe Ross does not deserve that great of a song.
And you want to know what's even hotter than that dance song, Gray? No Halftime! Our friends at No Halftime, awesome app. Check them out now. Get it in the Google Play and App Store. It's one-on-one fantasy matchups using DFS points. It's great. It's a ton of fun. I've been hot at No Halftime lately, too. This week, I'm going to take Adam Duvall. I'm going to take him. He's been hot. We talked to him earlier over Jose Abreu. I'm going to do that for, Thursday's game. Let's do that. So I've got that matchup in there. Adam Duvall over Jose Abreu. It's that easy to make. I've already made it. It's $5 contest. I've invited the Razzball group. It's a ton of fun. You'll see that. I'll tweet it out. All major sports are on there. NBA for the finals. They've got hockey for Stanley Cup. They'll have NFL when this season starts up. And now when you get the app now, put in promo code Razz, R-A-Z-Z, all caps, for $10 free to play on a No Halftime. And after you use that code and then make your first deposit, you'll get a free shirt. You'll get a No Halftime shirt. It's an awesome shirt. I wear it when I play basketball sometimes. It's awesome. Be sure to join the Razzball League. Download the app now. Promo code Razz for $10. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. All right, so more Brewers bias. So when a player that is usually a pumpkin, and for this more for pitching, but and they have a really good game. If I don't see anything like dramatic in changes of arsenal or velocity or any of that, I'm just like, nah, whatever. But Zach Davies is a little bit interesting to me. Do you find him interesting at all?
Not really. I mean, what's interesting to you about him? I don't see any. I think he's a blah velocity guy with a blah K rate, isn't he?
Well, I think he could be Kyle Hendricks. Like, and that's like ultimate upside. And we're talking right, like deeper leagues. I'm not saying he's mixed league relevant right now like Hendricks is, but
yeah, but isn't Hendricks much better on his control?
I think Davies is a good, he's shown good control in the minors. All right, well, anyway, here's what I found in his arsenal. His first, how many games was...
You had me primed for another dance song. I thought that's where this was going. Here's what I found for Davies.
I found a dying emu, apparently. I don't know what that was. So his first 8 starts, he threw his 4-seam fastball, that's a real slow, like 89, 90 mile an hour fastball, over 50% of the time, every time, more like 60% on average overall. Threw it 36.2% of the time in that awesome start against the Cardinals. No one runs, 9K, I think it was 9Ks, 8 innings. Only 36% of the time threw a ton more cutters. His cutters were awesome. They were just bouncing all over the place 25% of the time. threw his curveball, threw his changeup. So he like completely changed his arsenal in that game, and it really worked.
Sounds like Sabathia.
Oh God, I had to rank Sabathia.
Ugh. But that's what I mean. You looked at his numbers. That's what he's been doing.
He's been like not throwing fastballs at all, and only throwing junk.
Yeah, he stopped throwing fastballs, and he started throwing more cutters. He's still getting really lucky on homers, and he's obviously not a 2.5 ERA pitcher, but. Yeah, Sabathia's. That's supposedly Mariano told him how to throw the cutter, but that sounds super anecdotal. I don't know. But yeah, not to take this away from the glorious the gloriousness that is Zachary Davies.
Yeah, I mean you're right. I hadn't noticed that with Sabathia. Yeah, 29% with the cutter, a pitch he barely threw before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe in super deep leagues, if he's got good matchups, I'm talking about Davies now. But he's just so kind of whatever. I mean, even in the minor leagues, he's never really shown anything that amazing. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really that excited, to be honest. But if you like him... More power to you, JB.
Oh my God! No, maybe he will get Joe Ross music at this point. With that.
No, I'm not. No, please. I feel like Greyjoy from the Game of Thrones.
Oh no!
You're Ramsay Bolton. No, please, JB.
Come here, Reek. Come sit right here
and listen to my club music. No. And I don't dislike club music either. You're playing that for the right person. I love that shit. Give me more.
I thought you were gonna say I don't even dislike Lord Bolton that much. He seems like a cool dude.
I know, right? He's okay. He seems fine. Maybe misunderstood. I don't know.
Rest of the season, Zachary Davies or CC Sabathia?
I'll go to CC.
All right. Julio Urias, I did my pitcher profile on him. I was really impressed with the stuff.
Yeah, it was a good profile. I read it. I didn't get a chance to comment, but I.
Thanks, Greg.
I agreed with you.
Yeah, I think he's got a little unlucky. I think the two home runs he gave up in the fifth one was a two run. I think. One was one, whatever. But he just they kept making him throw changeups on strike one to righties, like every time. And it was like, oh my God, they're going to launch on one of them. And then Chris Bryant hits like a 700 foot home run at the end. So I think that they're just going to kind of figure out how to use him. I think with Alex Wood hurt, he's going to stick around now. I moved him up pretty high. I like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like him too. I think he's going to be very iffy for this year. Something I've gone back to many times over the years, but even Kershaw had a 4.25 or something ERA his rookie year. So, you know, rookie pitchers are really tough to deal with for fantasy, for redraft leagues. I think he's, I think he's someone who I would own him. I would be careful about starting him every time out. But yeah, I mean, he's someone who could be potentially a top 30 starter, if not more, next year. If he gets a good 100 innings under his belt this year, he's someone who could work out the kinks, and next year could be really someone who's like, damn, I wish I had him on every team.
Oh, for sure. And so today's start, I got it right. They're hosting the Rockies. A lot of lefty bats in that lineup. I think he's a must start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
All right. Julio Urias, rest of the season, or the guys we talked about in the open, Shoemaker or Fulmer?
Urias.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, me too. That's how I have it ranked out, so.
Yeah,
we are on the same page for the first time. This calls for some music. No, I'm not. I'm not gonna.
Oh, no, we get music when we disagree and music when we do agree. We are lucky.
I moved Darvish up to 12th in my ranks. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think he's probably a top 15 starter at this point. I don't see anything wrong. I mean, if he's back and he's able to go 6 to 7 innings, then yeah, he's someone I would want around top 15, I guess. You know, give or take maybe a couple starters. So yeah, I have no quarrel with top 12.
Oh, thanks. No quarrel.
No, I'm glad I own Darvish in the RCL. I wish Chris Archer would finally come around, but at least I have Darvish. He's actually Darvish didn't even have that amazing of a start last time, but
I know.
I do think he's going to be very good though.
I'm pulling up his. I've seen that he's been throwing harder even than when before he got hurt, Darvish.
Oh yeah, no, he was. I think he was touching like close to 99 on his fastball this year, and it was the hardest he had ever thrown in his career, at least in the major leagues. I don't know about in Japan, but I think he's someone who basically is going to come down to control and how deep he goes into games. But if he can keep his walk rate in check, he's easy. He's an easy 10-plus K-rate guy with, decent potential for wins. He'll have a solid ERA, great Ks, probably a moderate whip, if not excellent. So, yeah, I like him a lot.
Yeah, 93.3 average so far. Never was above 93 his first three seasons of the majors. He's always in the 92 range and probably keep going up as he gets healthier. One guy, I'm kind of going off my notes here. I got a lot of comments about not ranking Archie Bradley yet. I just don't think he's that good. Have you seen either of his last two starts? I know they've been two good starts, but we have a pretty good sample of him being terrible.
Yeah, no, I know. He has been... I mean, he's young, and he was a top prospect. I don't think he was necessarily awful in the minor leagues the past 2 years. He has not been good in the majors. That is true.
He was awful last year. In AAA, 21 innings. His walk rate was wasn't that bad. Oh, you're right. His whip was just so high. I guess that was Babbitt-fueled. Never mind. I stand recanted. I have no quarrel with you.
Thank you. Thank you for your recanting. I don't know. I think Archie Bradley is someone I would take a flyer on. He's not safe at all. He throws way too many walks to be considered safe at this point. He is someone who could potentially have a 7 earned run, 4 inning start kind of like a kind of outing like that. He's far from safe. So I would take a flyer on him, but I would know going in that it could be doom.
Doom starring The Rock?
Yes, it could be Doom starring The Rock, exactly.
Have you ever seen that movie?
No. I never saw that, and I never saw the Friday after Bruce Willis with the Chris Tucker movie, movie you like.
Get out of here.
I know, whatever. I don't know what movie it is. What's the name of it again? I don't even know.
It's Beaches.
Yeah, Beaches. Beaches is a solid movie. I mean, it's emotionally grabbing.
So is the Friday after Will Smith in whatever Bruce Willis, well, Chris Tucker
Bruce
movie.
Bruce Willis, Friday after next guy. Chris Tucker.
Oh my God. I will mention that Bradley is throwing a full mile an hour faster on the fastball. I did think that was a little interesting, but when I watched him last year, I was really excited. His breaking stuff was just not good. So I don't know.
I don't totally disagree. I think he's worth a flyer, but I would also, if he threw a shit game, I would probably drop him immediately. If he was like in the third inning and had given up 4 earned runs already, I'd probably drop him in the middle of the game. That's how little I respect Archie Bradley. But, with that said, I would probably own him at this point in most 12-team mixed leagues or deeper, more deeper than anything.
Would you own them over Shoemaker or Fulmer?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, that has them down there. I'll probably have them in the ranks next week. I mean, I had a ton to catch up on. I didn't even have internet most of the past week, so there's a lot to catch up on.
God, that sounds awful.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever done a trip like that during baseball season?
Oh, God, no. Even I went to Columbia, and even there I was like, how do I get internet, like, immediately when I'm in Columbia? I don't know. I'm a little bit tied to my internet. I was like, I was going to try out for MasterChef, which is, you know, kind of ridiculous. But then I heard they basically, you're without internet for 3 months. And I'm like, yeah, no way in hell am I doing that.
Man.
Right. Yeah, your mind.
How did they take away your internet for 3 months?
I don't even know. I have no idea. I didn't want to get into it, but all I know is I would have had to live in a hotel for 3 months, and they, I don't know. I didn't even look into it that well much. Once I heard there was even a possibility for no internet, I was like, yeah, this ain't happening.
That's like being on a sequestered jury.
Right? I know. Exactly. All right, OJ's guilty. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Now to write my memoir. So who has more saves rest of the season, Will Harris or Ken Giles, now that Gregerson's a pumpkin?
My memoir title, my autobiography.
My memoir title.
Yeah. One piece of pie, 7 spoons. What do you think? Does it work for you or no?
All right. It's too many spoons.
Too many spoons. Okay. I'll work on it.
All right.
Who'd you say rest of the season? Which one?
Yeah, the Astros. Who has the most saves for Astros this point forward?
I'm going Giles. I understand. Like, I'm not that daft. I understand that Will Harris has been incredible. Yeah, I know. I think a lot of people do get the impression I'm pretty daft. But I don't think I'm that daft. But I don't think I think Will Harris has done so well in the eighth inning. He did get the save on Sunday, but I think that was more a product that Giles had thrown 2 innings the night before. So
yeah, me too.
I think I think it's Giles. I think Giles ends up getting the closer job and running with it. It's kind of baffling to me as it is that he wasn't the closer out of spring training. I mean, the Astros traded Velasquez for Giles. I mean, it was like, okay, we're going to be a playoff contender. We're going to go get, you know, a young, amazing closer, and then they go and get him, and they put him in the eighth inning. It's just like the stupidest thing I've ever heard. So I don't know. I think a lot of these GMs, like the Astros GM and Billy Bean, a lot of these guys have, like, it's like the emperor has no clothes. You know, they make 70% smart moves and 30% stupid moves, and everyone's like, yeah, they're brilliant. I'm like, yeah, I guess. I can see why you would get Giles and leave Gregerson as the closer. I don't necessarily agree. And, you know, Giles wasn't great in April, obviously, but he was also – he was struggling with his mechanics. He – you know, they even said that there was a problem, so that's why he wasn't good. But that also – that wasn't the reason why he wasn't the closer. Dissed him, like, in spring training. He wasn't the closer as of March. Forget April. So, I don't know. After that extended rant, I'll say Giles.
All right.
Way to answer a one-word question with 3,000 words.
Have you seen what Michael Feliz has been doing in that bullpen, too?
Yeah, no, I know. They've got a bunch of guys. Yeah, Feliz has been... amazing. I wanted to grab him for just middle relief help in a couple leagues, but it's, you know, there's just so much room I have on my teams to I can only bench Chris Archer and Justin Upton just so much, you know.
Yeah. It lasts 20.1 innings, so that only takes out Feliz's first two games. 31 strikeouts to 2 walks in 20.1 innings with 5 hits allowed. 5
crazy.
Hits in 2 walks.
I mean, yeah, I know.
I mean,
crazy.
That's like better than Betances.
Yeah, no, I know. And Harris has been amazing too.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe the Astros have been bad.
Yeah. Yeah, their starting pitching has been a mess.
Yeah.
Keuchel and McHugh haven't really, they haven't held up their end of the bargain.
You go from Cy Young to like utter awfulness.
Yeah, exactly. And McCullers has been okay, but he's been injured. So, and Fears, I don't think, has really much to offer beyond a fifth starter. So,
yeah. Nah, I kind of agree. So speaking of dumb GMs and decisions they made, why is Trey Turner in the minors?
Yeah. I think the Nationals have been winning, and they don't need him, and Dusty is happy to trot out Espinoza. And really, to defend Dusty, even though it's really hard to defend him, like I said, the Nationals have been winning, and Espinosa hasn't, he's been, what else are they going to do with Espinosa? I mean, if they put Espinosa, they're not going to demote Espinosa. So what are they going to do, make Espinosa a bench bat? That's so useless. So, what else are they going to do? Turner's young. He went down to the minors to get everyday at-bats, and they're going to play Espinosa this year. I don't even think, without an injury to Espinosa or Rendon or anyone really, without an injury to a key guy, I don't really see Turner getting at bats, at least significant at bats this year. I think Dusty and the Nationals as a team, as an organization, are content with how they're doing, which is good. I mean, they're in first place. It's more to do with, I think their pitching is, they're number two in the majors for ERA with around a 3.14 ERA as a team, as a starting rotation. So they're fine. I don't think they need Turner. So I don't think they're going to use him. I think maybe if there's an injury, they'll promote him if Espinosa goes down for, 30 days.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I can't really disagree with that. They should just leave him down the rest of the year so he could say he hit 1,000 in a full season.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be pretty funny.
Turner, I was surprised that he got promoted for the paternity leave. That was surprising because it didn't seem like they had any intention of playing him. That was definitely a goofy move. I kind of anticipated it though. Like on the site, I was saying when he got promoted, I said this is probably going to be a very frustrating weekend because Turner is only going to be here for a couple days, and who knows if he's going to play. So I don't know. I wasn't too surprised, to be totally honest, that he came up, didn't play, and was sent back down.
Getting to everyone's comments on the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for leaving comments, as always, on these podcast posts. If you don't know what we're talking about, go to razzball.com, find the podcast post, put your comments in there. We read them on the air. I want to thank everyone for telling me to have a good voyage on the cruise. Everyone said Alaska was a good idea, and it was fun, unlike Gray, who is now sweating his ass off in 108 degrees. But you'd enjoy the Alaska cruise now.
I don't have any mittens.
So Hugman asks, what do we think about Zach Wheeler? He's been stashing him on the DL. Do you think Wheeler could have an impact this year?
Well, I guess if Max goes down with an injury, he was complaining of, he did have some elbow issues a little bit. If one of the other Mets starters goes down, maybe
if Bartolo Colon hits another home run, he's going on the DL.
Yeah, he'll be so winded.
I know.
The Mets are another, like the Mets year, the Mets team ERA is, they're third. They're the third lowest behind the Cubs and the Nationals at 3.23. And that's even with Harvey being god-awful. So, and Harvey's not getting bumped from the rotation. So I don't really know where Wheeler's going to go. Maybe the Mets say, all right, we're going to go to a six-man rotation, and Wheeler will start, you know, every 7 to 10 days, potentially work out of the bullpen here and there as a long man. I just don't think they're going to push him if they don't need to. If they have no reason to put Wheeler in the rotation, I don't know if he's going to go in there. I think he could come back in long relief. But if he does come back in the rotation, I would say I'd put him in like around the top 60 starters. I don't think he's not going to come back and be like a Yu Darvish or anything.
No. All right. So say, you know, Gausman's been decent and he stays at about what he is. Would you drop Gausman for Wheeler if Wheeler was called up today?
And Wheeler, if they said Wheeler's in the rotation, yes, I would go Wheeler over Gausman just because NL East versus AL East. But that's a pretty close call. I would say it's basically a toss up between those two.
Yeah, I'm trying to find someone else who I can say that about. There's just so much variability with pitching. You'll just kind of have to, if you don't have a DL spot for Wheeler, you're not holding him anywhere really, right?
No, there's no reason. I can't imagine he is someone who, outside of streaming, this is what I imagine is going to happen is they'll be like, okay, Wheeler's back. We're going to put him as a long man in the rotation. And then a week or two goes by. And it's like, we're going to give Matt's an extra day of rest. Wheeler's going to get a start versus the Braves. Okay, yeah, stream him. But then he's going to go back into the bullpen and he's going to become the long man again. I think that's basically where Wheeler's going to be this year.
All right. I buy that. All right, Grant, I think that's about the rest of the time we have. What did I miss anything else big from the past couple weeks? You can bullet point me.
What?
Bullet point me.
Bullet point you.
Quick hitters.
Your RCL team's a mess. You got to figure that shit out. By next week, I want a full update, and I want you to move above a couple of the other experts in our league.
I'll be able to make some streaming moves finally, so I'll try.
Now that you have internet again, could you fix your freaking team?
You know what? When this is what you guys get that have to always have internet. You can't get away because you got to make your 10,000 moves in one RCL season.
That's true. I laugh because it's true.
Well, at least you can admit it. Anything else big happen? Any other call-ups I miss?
Profar.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, Profar's been pretty good.
Yeah, I think the Rangers have figured out that Fielder is over the hill and he's no longer going to be worth starting every day.
Fielder is the hill.
That's funny. I think he's definitely someone who I would own at this point, until further notice. I think the Rangers seem committed to playing him every day, if not at least 5 to 6 days a week. I think Fielder is the odd man out. Maybe Fielder and Moreland have do a little bit of a platoon. I would grab the Jerkinson store.
Middle infield spot. You only got one spot. Eduardo Nunez, Aledmys Diaz, Profar.
Kind of like Profar.
Yeah, okay. So you like Profar. And I mean, he was a
former. As of right now, I could change by next week. But hitting on top of the Rangers lineup, I like a bit more than hitting second in the Cardinals lineup. But and both of them more than hitting on top of the Twins lineup. But yeah, I think, they're all kind of, they're all really close. But yeah, I would go Profar.
All right. Great. We're going to wrap the show there. Thanks everyone for listening. It's good to be back. Thanks again for Jay for filling in last week. Hopefully you missed me and we'll try to replace me with Jay. Did you miss me, Gray?
I was on the fence, to be honest.
And you want
truth or you want me to just, inflate your ego? What do you want?
According to this podcast, you're more on the inflate egos. You know what? Everyone voted for it.
Could you play us out with some Joe Ross music?
No. Okay. Well, I could. Well, I had this all queued up and I didn't even use it because everyone except for one person voted for it, Gray.
What?
Oh, fine. We'll go out. I know you're sad about that, aren't you? But this will bring you back up. Yeah, take this pill, Gray, and enjoy the night. It can't hear you over the music at all.
No, I know, it's awesome.
You
have that in the background the whole time.
What if the podcast didn't have this song? We'd lose everyone. Oh my god, this went on way too long. Great, thanks for joining me, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Talk to you then.
All right, babe.
Oh my god, it's amazing!
I can't wait until it comes. Oh my god.
iFetch.
We have some time. Just watch the video for like 15 seconds. You'll see immediately what it is.
Oh my god, it throws it itself, doesn't it? And then it goes down a different hole every time.